This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My next guest in this edition is Arizona Congressman John Shattuck, a Republican representing the Grand Canyon State's 3rd Congressional District, and he's also a member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, one of three House panels that approved health care reform legislation that now need to be merged into one final House bill that would eventually be merged with a Senate bill before it would actually be sent to the president's desk. The congressman went to the floor of the House of Representatives last week to point out that not all states would necessarily be treated equally, and that's because certain senators are flexing their muscles more than others are able to in order to help defray some of the costs of all this. And Congressman, thanks for your time as always.
You bet. My pleasure.
Basically, what you said on the floor last week, sir, is that certain senators, I believe Kerry of Massachusetts, Stabenow of Michigan, Menendez of New Jersey, and a few others, had basically made it so that their states wouldn't suffer some pretty severe financial penalties that other states might suffer. Explain what you meant.
Well, it's kind of interesting. The more we politicize health care in America and move power and control of it out of the hands of people and into the hands of the government, the more we should expect that political power will be exercised to benefit some people and hurt others. And the examples I gave on the floor kind of tried to illustrate those. There were a whole series of them that had come to, have now come to the fore, that just show that when political influence becomes a key component in healthcare, then powerful politicians will twist the levers to benefit themselves. One example was Harry Reid. Harry Reid, of course, is the Senate Majority Leader, and he represents Nevada. He is in deep trouble in terms of his reelection, and so he snuck a provision into the bill, or negotiated a provision into the bill, which will force the taxpayers of the nation to subsidize the cost of Medicaid in his home state in Nevada. He actually was a little discreet about it. What he did is he wrote in a provision that says that federal taxpayers will pick up the state's portion of the cost of Medicaid, which is about half the cost, in four states, and Nevada happens to be one of those four. So it's an example, as you point out, of a powerful politician kind of exercising his position. In this case, he's the majority leader of the Senate, to shift the cost of health care from being distributed equally to all Americans to being distributed unequally, kind of just to benefit his constituents and, shock of shocks, to help get himself reelected.
Congressman, some might be listening to that explanation and say, well, maybe that's just par for the course. That's how Washington works. Is that par for the course, or is that an egregious use of power, in your opinion?
Well, if it were the only thing that happened, you might say, well, that's par for the course. The problem is there are so many other things like it. You mentioned Debbie Stabenow and John Kerry. Debbie Stabenow and John Kerry got, I think it's $5 billion stuck into the bill to benefit and underwrite the cost of health care for union members. Well, okay, now I'm going to be asked to pay the state's share of the Medicaid cost in Nevada. I'm going to be asked to pick up a disproportionate share of the cost of health care for union members, thanks to Debbie Stabenow and John Kerry. Then you mentioned Bob Menendez. He's a United States Senator from New Jersey, and he got a provision in there giving the major employer in his state, which is the drug companies, $1 billion to subsidize drug research and development. And then probably my favorite of all is the provision that Chuck Schumer, the United States Senator from New York, snuck in. This one it just goes to show how once politicians get in charge, you can count on taking it in the shorts in some way or another. A major funding feature, indeed I guess the major funding feature of the Senate bill, the Senate Baucus bill, is a tax on so-called gold-plated health insurance plans. Health insurance plans that, under the words of the bill, cost more than $21,000 a year. And the Senate said, well, we should tax those to discourage the purchase of gold-plated plans and to encourage the people who can afford gold-plated plans to help underwrite the cost for Americans of lesser means. Well, in this case, Senator Schumer thought that wasn't really a good idea for his constituents in New York State, So he got the bill rewritten to say that the tax, which is supposed to kick in at $21,000, and oh, by the way, will kick in for my constituents in Arizona at $21,000, or for the people of Iowa or maybe Nevada or maybe Tennessee or Kansas or Kentucky, the tax will kick in at $21,000. But Senator Kerry got it fixed so that in New York, that tax doesn't kick in until, I believe, it's $24,000. In Massachusetts, it doesn't kick in until it's $25,000. Once again, one more example of how politics is going to make this healthcare policy disproportionate and disfavor some and favor others. And quite frankly, it may well come to the point in America where the quality of the care you get or don't get and the cost of the care to you and your family depend not on merits or the merit or the real cost of that care or the real care you need, but rather on whether you live in the state of a powerful senator who's of the president's party or in the majority in Washington, or whether you're just unlucky enough to live in a state with a less powerful congressional delegation that can't bend the levers of power to favor you.
Congressman, the fact that all these exceptions and amendments were added to the bill, is that a tacit admission that these people who are largely out front championing this bill realize there are some serious flaws here because they know it would hurt them politically if they didn't put in these special provisions to help their own people?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. I think they realize that they've got to be able to go home and brag to their constituents that they got a sweetener in the bill, they won't be able to defend it, because I think whether it happens before the bill passes or after the bill passes, there's going to be a level of outrage. I mean, you look at this bill, and there are so many bad things in it. It hurts young people by forcing young people to buy health insurance, even if they don't need it, and by providing that the rates charged to young people have to be disproportionately high, that is, higher than the cost of insuring young people. Who can defend that? But that's in the bill. The bill makes it, compels you to buy health insurance, and if you don't buy it, you get fined. And if you willfully don't buy approved, federally government-approved care, then you are guilty of a misdemeanor. Now, people say, well, nobody will ever charge you with the crime, but how many of us want to be guilty of a misdemeanor if we choose not to buy something the government's telling us to buy? I think this is a terrible, terrible bill. We talked last week about the CBO just scored it, and in Washington they're proud of that score, but the score says the score was based on 10 years of revenue and only 7 years of expenses. Heck, Greg, even the Shattuck family budget would look good if we scored 10 years of our income and only 7 years of our expenses.
Yeah, I think a lot of people wish they could do that on their bottom line right now, Congressman. Where do you see this heading right now? Different polls show different momentum. Where do you think this is all likely to settle?
I think it is very clear. If the American people want to stop it, then they got to take to the streets like they did in August. They've got to go pound on the door of their congressman or their senator. They got to scream from the rafters and say, "Slow down! Why don't politicians just fix the things that are obvious problems?" There are two of them that we've talked about, I think, before. One is pre-existing conditions. My sister, who has breast cancer, might have been denied coverage, and the other is making sure that we cover all Americans. Those are pretty simple. We don't have to take the whole system and turn it upside down to do that. But if the American people don't rise up, speak out, start screaming from the rafters, the president has delayed this carefully and maneuvered it carefully to where the polls are coming back. Average Americans, my friends, think the bill's dead, but it's anything but dead. And while Americans are worried about carving pumpkins, Nancy Pelosi is planning on sneaking this bill across the floor.
Congressman, last 60 seconds. We know your time is precious here. You just mentioned that in reality, there's only a couple of things that really need attention, and the fixes are relatively simple, namely making sure everyone's covered and taking care of pre-existing conditions. Why then the huge, overarching, comprehensive approach here? What's this really all about?
It's really about moving power and control to Washington. simply put, the current majority in Washington and the president himself is a progressive who believes that people don't know how to run their own lives, that we must have a much bigger government, much more focused on the good of the whole and not on the things that have made America great, individual freedom and free markets. His answers are kind of always European, left-leaning, centralist, planned economy type ideas, and we can't continue to have or to be the only country in the world that has a free market healthcare system or one that lets individuals be in control. We need to have the government making these important decisions. And so simple fixes like covering the uninsured or covering those with pre-existing conditions simply don't go far enough.
Hmm. Congressman, thank you as always, sir, for your time. I'm sure we'll be talking again over the next few weeks.
My pleasure. Thank you. I hope so.
Absolutely. Congressman John Shattuck represents Arizona's 3rd Congressional District, member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.